Hey folks, the Earthlings, welcome to Decoding the Earth, the podcast where we dig deep into the layers of our planet to uncover the fascinating stories beneath our feet, and sometimes even above our heads. I'm your host, Raihan Ghani, a geologist and professor here to bring the rocks to life. Each episode, we'll explore how geology shapes us by shaping the world around us. Ready to decode the Earth? Let's rock. Today, we are straddling in line between Ice Age fossils and cutting-edge genetics. The theme, bringing back extinction animals. And how yesterday's science fiction is inching toward today's science fact. 2025 delivered two headline-grabbing moments. First, researchers at Colossal Biogeoscience engineered so-called woolly mice, lab mice, tweaked with coal adaptation traits inspired by woolly mammoths. Proof of concept step on the long road to resurrecting mammal-like elephants. The story resonated with labs to living rooms because it made the abstract suddenly tangible. You could see the woolly in the fur. Second, the company announced it had produced living direwolves. Yes, the Ice Age icon, using a genome engineering pipeline built on modern wolves. The reported method edited key genes inside donor cells and used cloning techniques to produce pups. Before we sprint down the sci-fi corridor, let's anchor this in Earth history. The Pleistocene, roughly the last 2.5 million years, was a time of rhythmic glacial pulses. Vast steppe grasslands stretched across the high latitudes, and megafauna like mammoths and direwolves were part of that coal-adapted wave. When climates warmed and humans spread, most of those giants vanished. Which brings us to the how. De-extinction today is not time travel, it's engineering. The general workflow? Sequence and compare genomes, identify the gene variants linked to the target traits, edit those variants into cells from a living relative, then use reproductive technologies to turn those cells into embryos and ultimately animals. For mammoths, the plan centers on introducing mammoth-like genetic traits extracted from fossils into Asian elephants. For direwolves, edits were made in donor wolf cells before cloning. And yes, the cultural reference is irresistible. Jurassic Park. The cautionary line. Scientists were so preoccupied with whether they could, they didn't stop to think if they should, has become the unofficial motto of de-extinction ethics. Only now, the questions aren't rhetorical. Supporters argue that functional de-extinction could help restore lost ecosystem processes. In the Arctic, for instance, large graziers might trample snow, compact soils, and favor grasses over shrubs, potentially nudging carbon dynamics in a cooling direction. It's a bold idea. Engineer animals with Pleistocene traits to garden the tundra in a warming world. Critics, meanwhile, press on three fronts. First, scientific feasibility. How close can we really get to an extinct genome? And do engineer lookalikes truly behave and fit like their predecessors? Second, ethics and welfare. What about surrogate mothers, socializations, habitats, and long-term care? Third, priorities. Does headline-grabbing de-extinction siphon attention and funding from species we can still save today? Let's zoom out and put the geo back in de-extinction. Geology isn't just the backdrop. It's the stage, the icy climates, the lowest soils and steep plains, the permafrost that locks away carbon. those physical earth systems shaped mammoths and dire wolves in the first place. If we alter the cast without recreating enough of the stage, the climate envelope, the vegetation, the migration corridors, the play won't run the way we imagine. In other words, you can CRISPR traits, but you can't CRISPR a biome, at least not yet. What happens next? Expect more technical steps, scaling edits to elephants, artificial womb research, and longer-term behavioral studies on canids. Expect more scrutiny too, independent replication, peer review, and a lot more discussion about ecological fit, biosecurity, and who decides when and if releases ever happen. Here's my take. As a geoscientist, I love the audacity of using genetics to probe deep time. It's a rare bridge between paleontology, climate science, and biotechnology. But Earth history is humbling. Ecosystems aren't Lego sets. They're symphonies with tempos set by geology and climate. If we bring back Ice Age notes without the Ice Age rhythm, we may not get the melody we expect. So, is de-extinction our new conservation frontier, or techno-nostalgia with real-world risks? Probably both, depending on how cautiously and transparently we proceed. If this path continues, I would argue the bar should be high. Open data, rigorous peer review, plans for lifelong welfare, and ecological trials that are reversible, monitored, and honest about uncertainty. Yesterday's science fiction is knocking on today's lab door. Whether we open it and how carefully we walk through will say as much about our ethics as our engineering. I am Raihan Ghani, and this has been Decoding the Earth. If you found today's episode thought-provoking, share it with a friend. Until next time, keep your feet on the ground, your mind on the rocks, and your imagination tuned to deep time. Wishing you a happy Earth. A special thanks to Professor and Geologist Nahid Ghani for directing and producing this podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and follow us on social media to stay up to date on all things geology. See you next time on Decoding the Earth.